In this episode, I'm going to share with you a way that you could potentially quadruple or even quintuple your audience. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that emails might be the highest leverage way to grow your podcast audience. If you are not using emails or a newsletter of some kind to grow your podcast and get more downloads from the listeners that you already have, then I think you are probably missing out on something massive. Welcome back to Oh My Pod, the podcast that teaches you how to automate and grow your podcast so that you can grow your business. My name is Justin J. Moore, and I spend my days helping people turn their ideas into awesome podcasts that only take them 1 hour per week to run so they can focus on doing the things that they love most. And today I brought a guest on, and I did that because I really don't know a lot about emails. Emails are like a science, the copywriting that goes into it, the thought, the systems, the strategies. I knew I had to bring somebody on, so I looked towards one of the best people at this in my network, which led me to Adil Amarsi. He has been doing this since he was 12. Like literally, he's been writing copy since he was 12. And as of working with clients through, you know, writing their copy and helping them with their email sequences, he has helped companies generate a total of $1.2 billion extra dollars just from the stuff that he's done with them, which is crazy. He's been doing this forever, so he really knows his stuff. And he's been doing this forever, so he really knows his stuff. We talked about how to do better calls to action in your podcast in ways where people are actually going to follow through instead of just saying like, hey, leave a review. It's like, that's not enough. And so we talked about how you're going to get more people to actually do those things like leave reviews and all that. We also talked about how you can create an insane email sequence, like a list of emails from your podcast episodes, and how you can consistently nurture people who sign up to your email list with past episodes, increasing your downloads, bringing your favorite episodes back and creating a whole bunch of content around that, and just getting people to engage with the content that might just be sitting, gathering dust on the back shelf of your podcast catalog. For me, I know that, you know, some of my first episodes were great, but now that we're on episode 50, whatever, 54, maybe 55, those episodes are really just gathering dust. And so this episode was an answer to that. It was like what to do with those past episodes. And if you're here, it probably means you want to grow your podcast and grow your business. So I've created a community completely free. Even though it shouldn't be, it should be paid, but it's free. There's tons of resources, trainings in there. We go into depth onto some of the topics that we discuss in this podcast. And there's also opportunities to get onto other shows as a guest. You can connect with me in there. I will reply to every single person who sends me a message in there. So it's a great place to be if you're trying to grow a podcast. Anyways, let's get right into the content. Okay, Adil, welcome to Oh My Pod, man. How are you doing today?
I'm really good, man. Thank you so much for having me. This has been a long time coming, like a really long time coming.
Yeah, we tried to line this up beginning of February. Then I got sick. Then you got sick. Then I had something. Then you had something. I think we had four total cancellations and reschedules.
Yeah, one of them, I was on pilgrimage. That was the weirdest part. I was like, dude, I'm leaving for pilgrimage. Like, can we reschedule?
That's crazy. Yeah, it just kept happening, man. Yeah, but we're here now, and we are, you know, there's a lot of things that we can get into, and we do a lot of the same type of things. We're in the same type of world running online businesses and stuff. But you have, like, you know, when we were kind of, you know, brainstorming what this episode was going to be about, you were hitting me with some like amazing, amazing stuff about emails, about like welcome sequences for your emails, using podcasts as a way to, like, you know, nurture an audience in email. But before we get into all that stuff, just first of all, who are you and why should people, like, you know, trust what you say, essentially?
Okay, cool. So I'll give you guys like a quick 3-minute rundown of who I am. So my name is Adil Amarsi. I've been writing copy since I was 12 years old. I'm 34 and a half, will be 35 in 2024. I went pro at the age of 18. I have generated over $1.2 billion in sales for myself personally, for my clients, as in these are my clients I've worked with. The students I've trained have included people like Taylor Welch, Dan Meredith, Joel Irway. I've worked with Jay Abraham, Tony Hart Robbins. I've named them. I've probably worked with them or consulted for them or helped them, or they've helped me. It's like a really fun little thing. Why you should listen to me? I worked in 425 different niches, markets, and industries in that 16-year run. I have an insane track record, which I told one of my friends in Vietnam, and he went, yeah, that number's just unbelievably high for someone that has done as much as you have. And the reason is, because I actually focus on speaking to people through my copy rather than actually using manipulation or influence or whatever it is, I just kind of go with straight persuasion conversation. It works really, 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 really well. So that's who I am. And I was a podcaster for like 9 years from 2013 to 2021. Sorry, 2012 till 2021. I was a podcaster and now I'm going to be jumping right back into it. So that's who I am.
Yeah, like, of course, people, like, I trust every word that comes out of your mouth after what you just said. So let's freaking go. That's awesome. The one thing that I do want to add to that as well is, yeah, I was looking over your podcast and I was like, oh, okay, he stopped in 2021. He had like his last episode where he said, you know, this is the end of the show for now and forever. And but then I was like scrolling through and I was like, I was expecting it to be like, you know, maybe you got to episode like 30 or like 40 or something. And I just kept scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. And there was just name after name. And I'm like, oh my gosh, man, this guy like, so, okay. Can you just tell me why you stopped, like why you stopped the podcast?
Oh yeah. Cause like at the time that I stopped, I was actually on a roll. I got like Scott Dickus from The Onion on my show. I had like so many like legendary. Yeah. He's one of the guys I got on right at the end. And the reason I stopped was because 2021 was probably one of the hardest years I've ever had in my life. My father passed away at the start of the year. 20 minutes after my dad died, I had a client fire me, which was, I told them that was because my dad passed away and they thought I was lying. So they basically were like, our contract has ended and that sucked. And over that year, I lost like 5 other people. So I was emotionally, physically, mentally burnt out and exhausted. And as much as I love doing the pod, I started realizing that when I was doing podcasts, because my shows weren't really on camera, I'd find myself playing on my phone half the time. Like I'd be listening to the person ask questions and I just wasn't engaging as much as I used to. Like the energy wasn't there anymore. So I was like, you know what? My audience doesn't need that. They'll get like, these shows are fun for me, like a good reprieve. But I'm starting to realize where I'm going. And I was like, right now, we just need to end this, regain that energy and come back in 100% while we're ready. So that's what we're doing now. Like,
yeah, good call. And a great thing that you did was you made an episode and you acknowledged what was going on. And I think that compared to what most people do, which is just drop off the face of the earth, is such a different vibe. Like, I mean, just looking back at your show, I'm like, oh, he really respects his audience. Like he put together an episode. He took 20 minutes, put together a great episode saying, you know, this is what's going on and this is the end. So yeah, kudos to that. I think, you know, what would be the most valuable is to just like, jump right in to like specifically podcasting. You are essentially a king, like when it comes to copy, and copy is the same thing as marketing, is the same thing as podcast growth. Like it's all connected. So I would love to talk about, we said that we were going to talk about, you know, call to actions and how people are kind of not optimizing that. We also talked about emails and stuff, but maybe let's start with call to actions specifically, like, you know, at the start of the episode. And I'm just going to let you like take the stage here because I think that that's, you know, we'll let you shine here.
Awesome, dude. I'm happy for that. All right. So one thing I'm just going to get really clear. So copywriting for what it is in the last 10 years has kind of lost its meaning, kind of what genius lost its meaning because of Apple. Copywriters used to be people that would go from start to end to end. Like literally it was everything from your business setup to your funnels, to your product creation, to market research, to speaking to audiences. Literally they handled everything. So because I come from that school of thought, I want to make that very, very clear, which is why I can do so many different things, because that skill is built in from the very beginning. Now, call to actions are key. Like a lot of people mess this up because a lot of people you'll see, they kind of have the same call to actions. Hey guys, thanks so much for checking out my show. Subscribe, this, that. And it's always the same stuff. There's never a reason why. Like people don't give a reason. They just go subscribe. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. Like someone that's really amazing at doing this is Charlotte Dobre. I love Charlotte Dobre's subscribe call on YouTube. It's always like at the end, she kind of says subscribe as if she's running out the room, which indirect response is kind of a no-no because you kind of want to tell people why they should be staying. But because she does it in such an adorable, cutesy way right at the last second of a video, it becomes memorable, it becomes a hook, it becomes a way that she stands out. So I really love that. Whereas if you're looking at other people where they do it at the very beginning, at the end, which is what you're supposed to be really doing, you can get people to stay in and you want to give them a reason. So for instance, if I was getting you guys to do a call to action for Podigy, I'm going to make this one up so it'll just be like a lot of fun. It would be something along the lines of, guys, if you really enjoyed this episode and you want to find out more interesting episodes of how to grow your business with a podcast, head on over to mysite.com and subscribe and become part of my school community where you'll find out more. And as always, if you love this show, rate this 5 stars. Let me know what you love about it. I'll respond to you personally. And write that. That is just so much more powerful.
That was so good. That was awesome. Did you just off the fly, man? Let's go. That was awesome.
Yeah, so this is what I mean. Like, you can really put these together. Again, I've done this for so long that I speak in copy language, so it's like a second. It's just verbiage to me. But what I'm getting at is, look at the way it's broken down. I've given you a reason to why you like this episode. I've told you where to go and what to do next. I've even told you where the community is, so there's no loss. And at the end, I'm asking you to do something for me, because I've told you, here's how you can grow your business. Here's what I can do for you, but here's what you can do for me. And it's something as simple as, let me know what you like about this and I'll respond to you. Let's be honest, most of us have businesses big enough that we can actually respond to our customers still, or have someone actually respond to them as us if we wanted to put like a massively big business. But even that response in the comment section, when someone goes, I really like this, 5 stars, and you write back saying, hey, thanks so much for the share, or I really love that you love this, check out this other episode, anything that's there, people kind of go, holy crap, that person responded to me. It creates instant bond, and now you have a super fan for almost life that basically will be there with you, because they just want to be like, holy shit, this person sees me. Now, one other thing I will say is, you have to shift the psychology slightly. And the psychology is, I'm just me, and I could be wrong here, but I assume, because I've read your story, I know exactly how far you've trained, like the incredible artist that you are as well.
Thanks, man.
But to you, let me ask you, but to yourself, do you just see yourself as like, dude, I'm just Justin. I'm just like a regular dude living life, doing things slightly different, but I'm just a normal person. Do you have that?
I did until about a year ago. And the second that switched is when my business took off.
Wonderful. So what was the switch? Like, what's the mindset now?
It was that even though I do a lot of different things, like I'm a musician and I have this business and all these things, which can kind of sound a little bit flat. It was about describing my story in a way that was, it was really digging into my story. Like, I have a unique story by combining all these different things. And so it was just saying it a different way. And it kind of gave my name more weight the second I started doing it, you know?
Right. But what I'm saying is, do you feel any different? Like, when I say different, I mean, and this is just purely from us hanging out together, like hanging out together and seeing your content and stuff. You strike me as a really, really regular person, as in the sense where I would say regular, meaning who you are right now that I'm talking to is the same Justin I'll speak to if I met up in person in Italy and got pizza with. Like, they'll be, okay, so this is what I'm getting at. Some people don't have that, but for people like us who do, when your audience don't view you that same way, your audience always view you as like, you're slight, by the way, this is like refracting green light, so I was like, frick, I'm not going to keep them on. But anyway, your audience literally love who you are, and they kind of slightly put you up on a pedestal where they're like, holy crap, it's you. You're the person that's responding to me. Use that to your advantage to basically build a good relationship. One thing that I know that I constantly get told by everyone that's ever met me is, dude, how you speak online is exactly how you are offline. There is no comparison. There is no difference. It's just you. You're just a regular person the way that you are. But I still use that because I'll get emails from people going, holy crap, Abel, you just wrote back to me. This is amazing. How did you do? And I'm like, yeah, dude, for me, it's no big deal. But for them, it's like, it's made their day. So keep that in mind. Like, keep those ideas in mind when you make your calls to action, when you engage to people. Remember, you are talking to other humans, and other humans don't know you yet.
Yeah, and I think another piece of that you just said is, like, people tend to get really rigid when they start creating any kind of content where they're in front of the camera. And I would say that the majority of these listeners are also video podcasts as well, in some way, shape, or form. And I think that the real beauty comes through in podcasting when you share whatever imperfections you have. If you slip up, leave that in, like, leave it in. You know what I mean? This is podcasting. And then the whole experience of podcasting is also more relaxing, more fun, more, you know, so I love that. And I love what I really took away from the call to action part that you said. And I have a follow-up question for call to action as well, but was like, so it's like, leave a review. But then if you don't say why, or you don't connect it in some way, and that's just like, that's it, it just reminded me of something that I was doing when I was writing copy for our business. It's like, you know, we'll take over your podcast production. And then a marketer who I was working with was like, okay, but why do they care about that? And I was like, oh, good question. We'll take over your podcast production so that you can focus on growing your business. So it's like the way that you frame all that kind of stuff really makes a huge difference. So my follow-up question was, do you think that it's important to have just one call to action per like episode, or
have two? Like, have one at the beginning and have one at the end. Like the one that I'm going to be using, the one that's for me is for my audience is targeting business owners that want to grow their business online and not have to really stress about how to write copy because a lot of it is structural. So I'm like, hey, the greatest welcome sequence, the greatest opt-in ever would be, hey guys, actually we'll use yours. Yours is easier. At the very beginning, as we said, you do the same thing, but then you keep the same one at the end, but with a slight difference. You'd say, and remember blank, blank, and blank. So you use the words and remember because you're doing a callback from the very beginning. If you're changing it for the next guest, literally lead with that saying, our last episode was, we had so-and-so on, they did this, that, the other. It's absolutely amazing. If you want to find out more insights and join the community that is growing strong, go here and join up. And then you have, and as always, subscribe, leave us a review, and tell us what you love about it, and then move forward. The next one could be, hey, Joel from our community joined last week, and he's doing absolutely wonderful. If you want to be part of this community as well and just become part of the part of G Nation, go here, join, blah, 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 call to action. So you see, each one can be different, and they don't have to be the same. And if you're someone that's using use a pre-recorded intro, but use the call to action at the beginning of your show if you want, or do it at the end, or do it off the cuff. And again, like you said, being authentically you, not rigid, and actually having that in there allows you to be more playful, more relatable, more authentic, and have people actually want to work with you and subscribe to you because they're like, oh, he's not pushing it that much. It's just natural speech.
Yeah, all that is fantastic. So let's move on to using email for your podcast. So I'm inexperienced in using email to grow a business. I email people from my email account, and that's about as far as I get with emails. However, just before we started recording, I was telling you about how I was sort of setting up like a welcome sequence, so like a sequence of emails that somebody would get sent once they downloaded my lead magnet or something like that. And I was kind of talking about how I didn't actually end up setting it up because I don't have a lot of emails yet, but I was starting to sort of include podcast episodes as a way to like nurture people on specific things and have them get to know me during like through the emails. So again, because I don't really even know like I don't know what I don't know. So I would love for you to tell me what you're talking about emails. Just go for it again.
Well, that was the part that I basically had to kind of go, can we just record it from here? Because I was about to go off on one. I was like, yeah, we need to come back in. Exactly at that moment. So I love that you actually said that because it's one of the things that people get incorrect. They kind of put too much pressure on themselves with the welcome sequence. And a lot of people get their welcome sequences wrong. As I said, one of the programs I created was specifically around this to make it easier for people. And there's 7 simple emails. What we'll do, and if you guys want, I'll ask Justin just to send you guys the link. You don't have to buy the damn thing, but read the copy because in the copy, I give you the 7 email types you should be sending out over the 7 days. Obviously, you can go into depth if you want, but like this will at least give you a clarity to what direction to walk in, which is what you want. If you're doing something like a 40-day email sequence or longer, you just kind of recycle the same thing with different where the content goes and where the call to actions go. But that's just like, you can do that on your own. Let's move on to the actual stuff I want to talk about, which is more applicable to you, which is how to use your podcast to grow your email list and how to use your email list to grow your podcast because it becomes symbiotic and becomes awesome. How you do this is really simple. A lot of people don't reuse the material they've already recorded. They kind of just have it sitting there in a vault. And some of the materials, some of the guests that you have on are absolutely incredible. And I'll put my hand up, I'm also guilty of doing this. But what you do is you can take your podcast, you can run them through something like CapCut or Opus Pro or something else that you really want. They'll basically split your clips up to like shorter segments. And what you can do now is you can take one episode, like say a 30-minute segment like we're doing here, or even like a 30-minute segment here, and you split that up to maybe 10 emails because you can go, okay, Adil talked about how to do call to actions, find out who Adil is. We spoke about welcome sequences. We spoke about how to do the opening email. We spoke about how to repurpose your content. Basically, you can look at all the different things you talked about in like a little bit of a tree, and now you have about maybe 5 subjects, but you can actually find 2 angles for each subject. So the first thing could be you're doing this wrong with welcome sequences or what you're doing right with welcome sequences and how to keep going. So you can actually play both sides of the table over the course of like, say, 12 months. And now you have essentially got something that is core to your audience that is actually everlasting. And you can kind of put that into your welcome sequences or your everyday messages, up to you on how you basically run this. But you now have like essentially an endless content machine. And that's one style of email, which is the podcast production. Let's say that's style one. Style two is the personal story emails. And the personal story emails would be something like, oh man, I can't believe we had to reschedule this four times. That could be like a whole thing. It just kind of goes into, so the first time Adil had to go on pilgrimage, the second time I freakishly got ill, the third time we had a family thing happen and I had to fly back to the US, and it was at the same time we were doing the show. The fourth thing was like some other thing that happened to Adil, and now we're here and like we finally got it done. And you can just say, I'll be releasing that episode later on, whatever it is, and just go into what this will show you more than anything else is that if you keep in good conversation and good contact with your audience and your the person you're interviewing, you'll not only be able to reschedule with them, not only will you be able to finally get the episode, but you'll be able to do a really great banger of an episode in a short space of time, because it feels like you kind of know each other. You get to know each other over that time period of rescheduling.
That's so funny. That's a great angle.
Yeah, you just put it out that way and just say, I'll speak to you guys real soon. If you have any questions around podcasting, send me an email. Speak soon, Justin. Boom, there we go. You don't even have to promote the podcast. You can literally make that up as a story. You can say something like, I recently came out from Vietnam, so I'm just kind of looking at it going, am I going to have a shift in career? And yes, podcasting is a thing of it, but like, am I going to become a suit model because I can buy a crap load of custom-made suits and I look great in a suit? So I'm like, that could be a thing. Plus also I'd be in Asia and everyone in Asia is like 5'4 and I'm 6 foot tall, so I'm a giant around there, so it's fine. The algorithm works, man. Not even kidding. The algorithm works. But anyway, like, so that's the second type of emails. You can talk story stuff. You can talk about like the adventures you've gone on, the stuff in the community. And again, that's email number three. You can talk about the wins of your community. Who in your community has had a win recently? Who in your community has reached out to you to tell you about all the epic stuff they're doing? Like, think about the levels of content you can actually play with. And you just kind of have a mix. And then your fourth type of email is your sales email. And your sales email is usually set up in the last three. Your podcast guest happens to be the person that promotes the exact thought process that you're having. Your story about adventure also happens to be tied into how this will help them go through their adventures of trials. The next thing could be like the win in the audience is essentially how someone used your advice to get a win in the actual community of people, or what people are looking to buy. And the fourth email, which is the sales email. The sales email could be just something as simple as, I've told you about this, this, that, and the other. Here's what you could do next to work with me. Go here and sign up. Or, hey, we have this product. We'll help you do this, that, and the other. Go here and do this thing. And there's so many different ways. So you can just play with it. And then you just cycle through. Now, the problem, I know you have a question here, but I'm going to just one little thing I'm going to say. The problem people have is, do not write the emails the same way all the time. Like, don't use the same formula. Have about like three or four different ways that you can write an email. If I wish I could always remember these off the top of my head, but there are seven basic story types and you can just play around with every single one of them for your types of emails if you wanted.
That's great. So my immediate one of my follow-up questions or like train of thought was like, what if you were just simply wanting to try and drive people to a new episode that you've just released or just, you know, just put out? Like, what if, you know, if you're doing an email sequence and I guess you're sending, let's say, like emails every day or something, like what would it look like to try and get more people from your email list to actually go and hit play on the episode?
Send out a broadcast email. Literally send out a broadcast email. I don't care if you email your list 3-4 times in a day. You can do that.
Okay. And yeah, and just like link the full episode and try and break it down into like its key pieces or...
Yeah. And then what you can, so what I would do is I'd write five emails over 5 days and be like, episode, like while you're getting your concurrent good stuff, make sure it doesn't clash at the same time that arrives. So you're not like sending two emails like within a minute of each other. Have the first daily email go out around the same time. And then this autoresponder like set up, and then basically have your broadcast email go across like 3 p.m., whatever time zone you're in. Because around 2 to 3 p.m. hits most of the world. Fairly good. Like 3 p.m. in Europe is, what's it called? 3 p.m. in the UK is 10 a.m. in the East Coast. I know for you, it's like 9 a.m. for them. 6 a.m. for the West Coast, which is fine. And then you've also got the Far East, which like 3 p.m. would be around 9 p.m. for them or 10 p.m. for them. So you've got like a really nice widespread of people that would check out their emails around the same time. So what you would do here is quite simply, I would write the first full breakdown episode. So, hey, this is everything we covered, like some big parts. And then I would use the remaining four emails to go into like anecdotal bits. Like, for instance, I can't believe I made him laugh so hard. He almost, like, his camera died. Like, that could be like a little running joke. You can let people into little things that weren't talked about in the actual content, like tell them the funny stories. It could be something like, I don't know, Adel slipped and fell off his bike and he laughed like crazy. That could be something that you talk about and have in your email. There's one that I had with my friend Marshall Wayne, like that one of my very first episodes in 2012 when I interviewed him. I still remember it to this day. The email I wrote was something like, I'm crying in the shower, watching Netflix, eating popcorn, was the actual subject line. And the whole email was about how I basically mocked my friend Marshall for going through a breakup, where this is the exact situation he was in. And that's when he came up with the idea for one of his businesses. And I was like, you know, that's the thing. I didn't tell him there was an idea of a business. I just told him what went on and just said, if you want to find out how we actually turned this into a great episode, watch the episode here. And now you're hooking on people's curiosity. How can you turn something so different into something that will help my business? And again, the goal is, if you get unsubscribes, wonderful. Like, the reality is they weren't going to stay. Like, they probably weren't going to stay on long term. Or if they were, they just didn't like who you were in that one moment. And that's okay. Like, just delete them. It's fine. Move forward. Focus on people that are still there. It's like if someone leaves a party, you don't really mourn the people that left the party. You keep raving with the people that are with you because they go even harder and have a better time. And with that being said, what you do, so that second email is that kind of thing. Third email would be like a teachable moment that you picked up from the show. A fourth email that would go out would be more around specifically, like you'd actually tell them what segment, be like 9 minutes, 12 seconds will blow your mind. And the whole email is like, go here, watch this at 9 minutes, 12 seconds, reply back and tell me how it blew your mind, Justin. And that's all you write. No content needed, nothing else. You just tell them to do this. And if you got, by the way, if you got that as a text message from a friend of yours, would you not go to like watch the link and be like, 9 minutes, 12 seconds, what the hell is this dude on about? And then like, holy crap, this is, yeah, it's just another way of doing that. So remember, your subscribers are like your friends. You can literally treat them as such, send them messages as such, keep in touch with them. And if you're sending broadcast emails, it doesn't matter if you're doubling down. Like, you can be, literally tell them in the welcome sequence, this is how we do welcome sequences. We do the first 7 to 14 days automatically, and then we start sending broadcasts. And as we, like, if you're mailing daily, it becomes very, very tedious. But at the very beginning, as you mail out, you start seeing which emails get the highest opens. If they've got a high open, you add that onto day 15, day 16, day 17, just start adding it in so people have that perspective. And if you have like a lot of episodes of podcasts as is, like you do, what you can actually do is take the first 10 episodes that you really like, that you're like, these are the 10 that'll be the most impactful, and basically turn each one into like a mini welcome sequence and add that to your welcome sequence.
Wow, wait, that's actually such a good idea. So wait, how does that work though? So when you're saying welcome sequence, how could I have multiple welcome sequences? Isn't it just if somebody comes on my email list, they get the same one?
It's a single welcome sequence, but you're adding several welcome sequence series into it. And I'll explain what I mean. So imagine this episode garnered 5 emails, right? Or even 7 emails. And that was a welcome sequence. Say, hey, if someone came in and wanted to listen to Adel, how would I write this as a welcome sequence? You get rid of the first email of welcome sequence is get people to do what they need to do. The second is to remind them why they're there. And then the third onwards is content, whatever you want it to be. So what I would do here is you'd find your top 10, 12 guests that basically are timeless in what they do. And what you could do, like you got John Caprani, who's a really good friend of mine. I love John. John could be one of the people they have on there. And what you would do is the first set of stuff and say, hey, so when you're part of my welcome seat, when you're part of my community, I'm going to be sending you different podcasts to listen to with different ideas that might spark creativity that have traditionally helped a lot of people in my audience. And it'll also help you, especially if you're trying to achieve X, Y, and Z goals, which they've already told you why they signed up. So what you do is you talk about like John Caprani for like in email number 3. You're like, John Caprani did this, and you got like 5 or 6 emails about John that you've already got written, but you start off with a big episode at the start and a small like clip, like go minutes, 9 minutes, 12 seconds kind of email.
Yeah, like little bite-sized pieces.
Right. And then to break that up, you put in a story about yourself, you put in a story about your travels and your life, and then you do a little call to action, and then you start with the next podcaster that you have, the next interview, and you do 2 emails there. You do the next build out and you keep going. Now, when you get to about the 10 that you've done, you're going to be like, I've got like a good, I don't know, 100-ish emails of a welcome sequence here, kind of running 120, which is wonderful. Sounds like a lot, but realistically, 120 is like 4 months. What you do then, this is the beauty. You go back to the John Caprani episode and then you start writing emails about the different segments, the 5 types of emails that you can write for a single episode. And you start lacing them in either inside to extend out John's bit. So it goes John Big Episode, John Little Clip, Story About Justin, Call to Action, 2, 3, 4, 5 more emails about John. Then comes the next guest. And then you can kind of really build this out. So then that way your audience has that in there and they can feel it, or you can put it at the very end. So they have callbacks to the very beginning of the training and say, like, say it's 4 months in at this point. I know I've spoken a lot, but imagine you're like 4 months in and you decide to go back to John Caproni's emails.
So you've cycled through the whole 12 guests that you picked and now you're back to the start again. Yeah.
Then what you do now is you seed it in by saying, a lot of people have asked how I do X, Y, and Z. In actuality, I answered this in the very first thing with John. If you haven't seen that, or it's been a while since you've forgotten, go back and watch it here. Or this is a clip that we talked about here, or whatever it is. Or you can just say, you know, what's really funny, I got an email from John Caproni today and it made me realize we had a great episode. I want you to listen to it. Go listen to it here. So essentially, you're using the same content to extend out. You do that with every single person that you have out of the town of 12. You'll end up with about 6 to 12 months worth of emails on automation with all the call to actions done. So now your only focus is produce new content to send out in broadcasts and have an automation so when people join your mailing list, they can actually join and subscribe straight to your podcast. The other way you can do this as well is you can segment your lists.
Yeah, okay. So what you're saying is that when somebody subscribes, let's say I have this podcast episode and I'm like, subscribe to my newsletter to get, you know, tips from last episodes so that you can continue to grow your podcast or whatever. Then if they click on that and they sign up, they're going to get those 120 emails for the next 4 months every day automatically. And they're all going to start from that first one with John Caproni and they're going to go all the way through. So to me, this sounds like probably the one of the single best ways to grow a podcast, because the beauty here is that you are not only getting, it's not necessarily that you're going to get like new listeners by doing this. I mean, you might as well. There's obviously ways to do that. But what this sounds like is like you are going to like quadruple, quintuple, whatever your downloads by making the same people aware of the past episodes by pulling out gems and golden nuggets. And so you could literally quintuple your downloads just by having an email sequence that you just build out once. And then in between those emails as well, if I got you correctly, in between, you know, I could say, you know, John Caproni, here's the things you talked about. And then I could say, oh, the story about how I met John Caproni, which is interesting, and how he's my most downloaded episode so far and like stuff like that. And then I could insert something like, if you want to work with us, or if you want your, like, is that what you're saying? Like in between, you can put call to actions for your business.
100%. If you're looking at working with us, grow your podcast, let's hop on. Here's a sale thing. And remember, you're not selling in the email. You're selling the sizzle in the email. You're getting them to go over to the sales page, which is doing all the heavy lifting. That's the whole process of a sales letter. It's to do all the heavy lifting, because your email will just be too much demand on the email to get to do what you need it to do. Now, the other thing I was going to say about list segmentation is what you could do. Like, okay, Adil, that sounds great. Let people join my podcast. What about when I do new episodes? How do I let my people about the new episodes? I don't want to keep mailing out the people on my mailing list all the time. What if I have other people? Well, guess what? That's the beauty of it. You actually have a secondary list for your podcast listeners. Hey, if you want to find out about future episodes, go here and sign up. And now what they've done is you've got a bunch of people who are waiting to sign up specifically for the podcasts. You have a basic 7-day welcome sequence that gets them going with 2 call to actions for your product in there. And now all you do is you just hit broadcast on those emails. You know, you write a couple of emails, you broadcast it out to them first, and then you broadcast out the same emails to the main list as well. So the main list gets 2 emails, the broadcast list gets 1 email, and the broadcast list as well, you can edit this as well slightly if you wanted and just have something in there that just says, oh, by the way, if you're really interested in finding out how to build your own podcast community, click here. And now they end up on your main list and they get exposed to the first. If they came in on episode 150 and you're talking about episode 12, which is one of your best episodes that you've ever done, they're now being exposed to that. So now they're going back to the old stuff, watching it. And what happens to Apple, Spotify, and YouTube, as well as other channels, it makes them look like, holy crap, this dude's stuff is constantly popping off. Let's add even more traction to them by giving them a bigger audience, because that's what they're bringing to us.
This seems like a massive tool. Like, I mean, it seems like because the last episode that I just recorded, the one that will be coming out before this one, was with a podcast host who has like 5 million downloads per month coming in. And she was saying that podcasting is really difficult to get listeners to. We know this, especially because, you know, a lot of people don't listen to podcasts. So like blasting it out on Instagram is not necessarily going to get you listeners because you're, you know, there's not a lot of people there. There's a lot of people there who don't even listen to podcasts. And so the best way to find people is to talk to people who already listen, who you know listen. And so if you have listeners, one of the biggest things that you struggle with is actually keeping them around week after week after week after week and rising those numbers and everything, right? And so this seems like a way to just, like, you've put all that work into your past episodes, and you put all that work into your catalog, and you know there's episodes that are so good in there, but they just kind of sit gathering dust. So this definitely seems like a very, very high leverage approach to just doing like so many things. It's super exciting.
Now, here's the other thing that you can be, like, some people might be thinking, dude, that sounds like a lot of work. I don't know if I have the time, blah, blah, blah. You have ChatGPT, dude. Just literally get ChatGPT 4.0, throw your podcast link in there, tell it, hey, pull out some of the stuff, write some copy around this in my voice. You'd be surprised ChatGPT actually knows about you. I Googled, do you know who Adil Marcy is? And I got like a whole breakdown of my profiles, like, write an email like me. And the email sounded like me. It was kind of scary. I'm not even going to fucking lie. Like, it was that scary. This was in Vietnam. My brother that was out there, we created a brand new product literally in 10 minutes, if not less, just using ChatGPT and like what it knew about me. So you can literally do this to train it yourself and actually run through your podcast. It always gives you what you need, and this streamlines it. Make sure you edit those emails, by the way, because ChatGPT is a great first draft. It doesn't do a great final draft. You need to make sure that you go through it and actually do it. And it won't take you as long. Trust me, it really won't. Once you have, like, you understand it, it really won't take that long, which is why I'm actually turning the welcome sequence stuff I created into my own like ChatGPT bot. So like, write a welcome sequence for this, and it just knows exactly what to do for me, which is great. But jumping back onto, just very quickly, just jumping back onto the idea around social media, like your audience isn't on Instagram and places like that. I disagree with that with one reasoning. It depends how you're actually reaching out to them. Don't put the whole episode. Find the juicy one little hook, create a short around that hook, and just release that hook with no answer. Do not give an answer in it. It could be something like, hey man, like, I really am curious. So what you're saying is that I can grow my mailing list and my podcasts and get them staying around for a lot longer by what? Creating an email, like using what was it that you were saying? And then just about to speak, you say, go watch some more.
Yeah, amazing. amazing. Yes, I love it. I'll just say, okay, just last thing, logistic question, probably like too easy for you to even care about, but like, where do we actually send emails from? Like, what is the automation tool? I use Go High Level for like everything, but like, what is the tool that you recommend?
Okay, you can use everything. You can use GHL if you want. I am old school, so I use AWeber. Like, I know people go, oh, AWeber, dude, it's $20 a month, all right? Maybe 30 at the very most. It's incrementally increasing. So like 20 is, I think, 500 subscribers. 30 is 2,000, and then upwards from that is like 20,000 or whatever it is. Names on your mailing list, and it's been around for 20 plus years. It has it's updated. It's got a proven deliverability rate, and it works. So I just use, for me, AWeber is my favorite. I like it, but you can use GHL if you want.
Cool. And there's like MailChimp and stuff.
Don't use MailChimp. I was literally just about to say, don't use MailChimp. Like,
they
MailChimp
did a great job
marketing
because it's the only one I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah. Well, MailChimp did a great job because they're free. Like, that's the thing. At the very beginning when, so I've been around, like I said, I'm in the IM world since like 2008. So I remember when we were doing like the blog challenges that tell you, hey, if you don't want to pay for a mailing list, like a place like AWeber or GetResponse or anything, that's the two that we had back in the day. And then Infusionsoft came out. But imagine those three previous, now we have multiple options. You also had MailChimp, and MailChimp was like the freebie, but it was very limited. And it was good, but now it's just got to a point where they've just limited the free version so much that the deliverability on MailChimp is lower than most of the other ones. And I'm kind of like, why would you? It's not a place I'd build my mailing list. Because when you're trying to get your mailing list out of MailChimp as well, it's a struggle at times. So I just tell people, go to like one of the other ones and you'll be fine. And definitely pay for your mailing list. Like, it will be, it's an asset.
Yeah.
It's a huge asset.
Yeah. A huge investment. Like, it's, of course. So, man, this has been crazy. I may have to really build, like I might start building out, I might not do 120 emails, but I might at least start building something out. You know what I mean? Because like, why not? It seems like such a low hanging fruit. So where do you want people to go to? I mean, you mentioned that you have your $100 like 7-step welcome sequence, which it sounds amazing. But where do you want people to find you?
Oh, okay. So there's two places you guys can find me. Actually, it's one URL. It's greatestcopywriteralive.com. That is my website. So you guys can go there. You can join my mail. You guys can join my mailing list. I am getting better at mailing my own list. It's just I've been very, very busy, so I sometimes forget to do that. But join my mailing list. You'll find a bunch of stuff out that have gone automation there, which is great. And soon after, I think in like the next month or so, I will be releasing the greatest business podcast ever as well, which is going to be a fun little like interview stuff. Yeah, my friend basically got me to name it that. And I was like, well, this is in line with all the other stuff I do. I'm like, screw it, we're going to jump into the branding of it all. But yeah, that's basically you guys can find me. And if you guys want to connect with me personally, just hit me up on Instagram. It's at Adil Marcy. I'm the only one in the world. Literally find me, hit me up, and you'll get a response because it's the easiest platform to find me on.
Cool. Yeah, we'll link that stuff down below as always. And I appreciate it, man. This has been hugely valuable. The audience is going to agree. I know they will. And as always, thank you for the time and for being so gracious with all of your knowledge, sharing it for free here. It's amazing, man. Thank you. Hey, just before you go, I'm really happy that you made it to the end of this episode. It means the world to me. I only want to ask for one thing in return for putting together all this content for free. And that's just leaving a review. If you can, wherever you're listening, if it's Apple or Spotify, just leaving a quick review is super, super helpful for us. It's going to help more people find the show so I can keep putting this content together for free. Thank you so much. And we will see you on the next episode of Oh My Pod.